Christ. What the hell are we up against? First that paddle boat illusion, now undetectable weapons. I don't know, not yet, but I'm going to find out. She was surprised at her own determination. Do you need assistance? It's a long walk back to the boat. Negative. I don't think we should join up. Two groups still have a better chance to achieve our objective than one. Nothing has changed that. Okay, but we're here if it gets too tough. Thanks. Listen, Murphy, I'm not aiming to stay in this jungle after dark. Hell, we can't even see them coming at us in the daytime. Now that sounds like the first piece of sensible advice you've given today. She referred to her neural mnemonics. There are another 7 hours of daylight left. I suggest we try and rendezvous back at the Issachor in 6 hours from now. If we haven't captured a hostile or found out what the hell is going on down around here, we can review the situation then. I concur. Jenny, Dean called with soft urgency. Call you back, she told Murphy. They had reached the edge of the barrage zone. Not even the tree stumps had survived here. Craters overlapped, producing a crumpled landscape of unstable cones and holes. Crooked brown roots poked up into the sky from most of the denuded soil slopes. Long strands of steam, like airborne worms, wound slowly around the crumbling protrusions, sliding into the holes to pool at the bottom. Over on the far side, she watched three men emerging from the craters, scrambling sluggishly for solid ground. They helped each other along, wriggling on their bellies, when the slippery loam proved impossible to stand on. Jenny watched their progress in the same kind of bewildered daze which had engulfed her as the fantastical paddle steamer sailed down the river. The men reached level ground 60 meters away from the ESA team and stood up. They were recognizable colonist types, dungarees, thick cotton work shirts and woolly beards. The third was dressed in some kind of antique khaki uniform, baggy trousers, calves bound up by strips of yellowish cloth, a brown leather belt round his waist sporting a polished pistol holster, a hemispherical metal hat with a 5-centimeter rim. They couldn't possibly have survived, Jenny found herself thinking, yet here they were. For one wild second she wondered if the electronic warfare field had won, and was feeding the hallucination directly into her neural mnemonics. The two groups stared at each other for over half a minute. Jenny's electronic warfare block reported a build-up of static in the short-range data-wise band. It broke the spell. "Okay, let's go get them," she said. They started to circle round the edge of the barrage zone. The three men watched them silently. "You want all three?" Will asked. "No, just one. The soldier must be equipped with the most powerful systems if he can create that kind of chameleon effect. I'd like him if we can manage it." "I thought chameleon suits were supposed to blend in," Dean muttered. "I'm not even sure we're seeing men," Will added. "Maybe the Xenox are disguising themselves. Remember the paddle steamer." Jenny ordered her suit's laser rangefinder to scan the soldier. Its return should reveal the true outline to an accuracy of less than half a millimeter. The blue beam stabbed out from the side of her shell helmet, but instead of sweeping the soldier, it broke apart a couple of meters in front of him, forming a turquoise haze. After a second, the rangefinder module shut down. Her neural mnemonics reported the whole unit was inoperative. "Did you see that?" she asked. They had covered about a third of the distance round the barrage zone. "I saw it," Will said brusquely. "It's a Xenok. Why else would it want to hide its shape?" The distortion in the datavise band began to increase. Jenny saw the soldier start to unbuckle his holster. "Stop," she commanded, her voice booming out of the communication block's external speaker. "The three of you are under arrest. Put your hands on your head and don't move." All three men turned fractionally, focusing on her. Her neural mnemonics began to report malfunctions in half of her suit's electronics. "Screw it. We must break them up. Even three of them are too powerful. Will, one round EE, 5 meters in front of them." "That's too close," Dean said tensely, as Will brought the Gauss gun to bear. "You'll kill them."
"They survived the first barrage," Jenny said tonelessly. Will fired.